Okay. You don't want to say something? Okay. Okay, well, in case you haven't heard that Krista went home this morning at 5 o'clock. And she's in the loving arms of Jesus, and she couldn't be in better shape now. There's no more sickness, and there's no more pain, no more fear. Everything is perfect in her world now. And I got to tell you, she left this world with a bang. A mighty bang. I can account of four people that got born again, five people that got born again and got water baptized as a result of her testimony, a direct result of her witness. That's a powerful witness. That's a powerful testimony. You know, sometimes we have challenges, but it's what you do in those challenges that's going to mark you. And I remember her as being a soul winner. Five people, y'all. While she was on oxygen. Five people in a span of 3 years that got born again. She plundered hell and populated heaven. That's a powerful, powerful testimony. Do we have any announcements this morning? I can't think of anything. No, we're eventless. Okay. Do we have any praise reports? You do.
Praise God. I used to worry. I don't worry anymore.
Praise God. Praise God. Do we have any prayer requests? Well, I lift up Crystal's family to you, Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding and flows into these people's souls, permeates every part of their being. Father, that they can see this as a sweet home going, a total victory. She's got the victory now. We can celebrate this. We know where she went. We thank you, Father, for healthy grieving times, surrounded by loved ones and friends and family. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you're on the scene, that the family is going to grow together and be even stronger. We thank you that you see us through our challenges and our changes. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have a couple people help me with the... Oh, I thought that was Pete. Okay, can we have a couple people help me with the communion? And Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for your holy communion. We can receive our health and healing from you as we partake in the Holy Communion. We take the life of Christ into us. And we do it on purpose, and we do it by faith. We thank you, Father, for the sinless body of Christ that was beaten for us and bruised for us. We thank you that it's by his stripes that we were healed. His body was pierced, and everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption for something. Father, we thank you that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus on that cross. The wrath that was meant for us so that we can be in your presence as if nothing ever happened because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus, your body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing, our health, our well-being. The blood of Jesus was shed for our redemption. It completely remitted our sins. The blood of Jesus protects us, and it continually cleanses us. And it's by his blood that we enter into God's presence. And it's by his blood that we are protected. Lord, thank you for this. When you honor the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit honors that. You can expect him to guide you and protect you and bring blessings your way. Here you go. Has Children's Church been canceled today? No? I guess you get to go. Oh, wait a minute. We got an important thing we forgot to do. Come here, girls. We got to pray for mommy and baby. Put your hands on here. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Kimberly and her baby. Father, we come against this migraine and against this pain and this teething baby that he can have comfort. He can have rest, and Mama can have rest and peace. Father, we ask you that all the anointing that it takes to relieve this pain and bring rest will flow into this, from your body into this napkin. Father, that when these girls lay this on her head, that headache is going to go away. And when they lay this napkin on that baby, that he's going to get sleep, and his teeth are not going to hurt no more. We ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, girls, you know what to do now. You take that with you. The sheet. They all look alike. Bald-headed and wrinkled. Okay, open up your Bibles to John Chapter 19. We'll continue on with our study. When Jesus was on the cross, he said a peculiar thing. Have you ever wondered why he said that? I mean, you could might come up with a quick answer, but they're really not a quick answer. But John chapter 19, verse 30 said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, it wasn't just his suffering. It wasn't just his passion. It wasn't just the crucifixion. There was a whole bunch of things that dealt directly with us that was finished. And we didn't have anything to do with it, but we receive it. Turn to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll build a foundation for what we're going to talk about here. Because it gets a little bit confusing to some people, and they don't understand why some of this stuff happened. But Genesis chapter 4, Verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal, and his father of all handled the harp and organ. Am I in the right place? Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm in the right place. No, I'm not. I am not in the right place. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Now Adam and Eve have been in the garden, and Adam sinned, and God found out about it, and he had to do something. He ate of that tree that he was not supposed to eat of. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. I think that was the first sacrifice ever made. And I believe those skins were turned bloody side out so God could see that blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I think they got a covering. They got an atonement at that minute. But that wasn't the end of it. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Man was not created to die. We were created to live forever. That's why death is a mystery to men. You know, we were not created to pass away. See, Adam, he could have ate of the tree of life. But he ate of the wrong tree. And because of that, God had to take him out of the garden so that he didn't eat of the tree of life and live forever in that sin-filled state. Moreover, man was banished from the presence of God. That's the big thing. There's a lot of people that don't have access to God because they haven't made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Now, they could have access to God if they call on the name of Jesus. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. When we call on Jesus, we shall be saved. But for thousands of years, people were cut off from the presence of God. God would make covenants with people at certain times, but they didn't have access to the throne room of God. The devil did. Because Adam sinned, he gave everything he had to Satan. That means Satan had access to the throne room of God. Remember in Job, it talks about Satan going before the throne and accusing Job, but he doesn't get to do that no more because Jesus cleansed the Holy of Holies. And now he put us back in our rightful place. Yeah? Look over here to Ephesians chapter 2. One of our One of the world's biggest challenges throughout the ages was getting in contact with God. That's how we come up with all these different religions, these Eastern religions, all these different cults, all these different things, with man-made ideas on how to get into the presence of God. Now, God had an idea. He could make a bridge from heaven to earth. He invaded our world. He came into our presence because of Jesus. So the way for personal access to God was finished. We had no access to Him until Jesus did His work. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit through the Father, unto the Father." So when we go to Jesus, when we go through Jesus, we have access to God. Amen. Sometimes it feels like God may be 1,000 miles away. You know, when we realize that He's been made close to us because of the blood of Jesus, we can relax a little bit. We can find rest in that He's right here. He's right here. He's right here in the midst of our challenges. He's right here in the midst of our victory. When we're on the mountaintop, we shout hallelujah. And we're saying, "God, You are certainly here with us." It's in the valley of despair where we offer up the sacrifice of praise. We lift our hands and say, "God, Father, everything is all wrong. But I know You're my God. You said You would never leave me nor forsake me. You said that nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God. I thank You for being here with me." And that's offering up the sacrifice of praise in your darkest hour, when it seems like there's no hope. Offer up the sacrifice of praise and thank Him. He's right there. You have access to Him because of the blood of Jesus. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10. See, even my dogs are shouting hallelujah. You guys are sitting on your hands. You say, "Hands in the air." Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Oftentimes people are timid in their approaches in prayer. You know, they're not sure. And sometimes they really don't want to be in the presence of God. Sometimes they just don't know. The blood of Jesus can completely cleanse you of all your sins. And it continually cleanses you of your sins. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we go into the presence of God and commune with Him. It's not on our own efforts. There's nothing we could do to get ourselves saved except call on the name of Jesus. There's nothing that we could ever do to be good enough to be in the presence of God. But the blood of Jesus The blood of Jesus has been applied to our lives. Therefore, we can have confidence to go into God's presence. I like what Glenn Smith used to say. You never knew what he's going to pop out of his mouth. He said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's nothing you could do to make yourself that way. You could roll a doobie up, smoke that thing, and walk right into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. He used to say that in church. And the whole religious biddies would grab their chest and say, you could see them. Did that preacher just say that? Yeah, he did. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about him. And he's about fixing hurting people. And he wants us to come into his presence. Let me ask you this. If your kid was out playing, and he's just a little kid, and he got into some trouble that you could fix real easy, would you want him to go hide in the weeds like Adam did? Or would you want him to come running to you in confidence, knowing with the full assurance that he can come to you and that you'll be able to fix it in a loving way without condemnation? Amen? See, that's how God wants us. Now, we can do that when we understand about the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives. That we've been redeemed by something that's more precious than silver and gold. It's the blood of Jesus that we can get into the presence of God. And that when we make a mistake, we don't run from God, we run to Him, because He's the one that can fix it. There's too many Christians that are hiding out. They won't go to church. Condemnation in their heart. They've accepted the condemnation. They're afraid of the judgment of God. They don't understand that the judgment has already been laid on Jesus on His cross. And that they could walk as free men if they would just learn the truth of Jesus and what He's done for them. Yeah? You see how dangerous the devil's deceptions are? He uses the law to beat up Christians with. People make mistakes all the time. What you do when you make a mistake is going to define the quality of your life. If you make a mistake and run away, quality of life is going to go down by a long ways. But if you make a mistake and run to Him, it's going to go up considerably. Now let's get back on track here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. This is important. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now that's important. Jesus is our high priest. See, in the Old Testament, they had high priests. Paul was training to be a high priest at one time in his career. But they had these high priests. And however God seen the high priest, that's how He seen the people. See, the high priest could be a total rat fink, and the people could be pretty good. But as God seen the high priest, that's how He seen the people. Now, the people could be total rats, but the high priest could be doing his thing and be on cue with God. But as God seen the high priest, that's how He seen the people. Now Jesus is our high priest. How do you suppose God sees Jesus today? I think he sees him pretty good. So how do you suppose he sees you today? He sees you pretty good. The Bible tells us as he is, so are we now in this world. You can have confidence that God looks upon you with favor. Amen? And it's covered with grace. Not because of what we did, but because what Jesus did. And he did it perfectly. Amen? He took what Adam did wrong and made it right. And he took us out of our place of misery and put us in his place of heirship. Praise God. That's grace, but that's the gospel. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Or how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That confuses a lot of Christians. That confuses a lot of preachers. There's too many Christians that are walking around looking for judgment. Too many preachers telling these Christians to be ducking because there's judgment coming your way. You want to know how that judgment comes your way? This is how that judgment comes your way. You get born again, you get saved by grace, you're under the blood. And then you're sitting there one day listening to the devil. And you say out of your mouth, on purpose, that the blood of Jesus is no longer good enough for my sanctification. That the blood of Jesus is no longer good enough for my salvation. See, that's how that happens. There's actually been some people that have done that on national TV. People that have walked in the Spirit, operated in the gifts of the Spirit, operated in miracles, seen stuff happening, and then they sat down and said, the blood of Jesus is no longer for me. That's trodding underfoot, the blood of Jesus. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. I don't care how much the devil offers you. It's not worth it. Amen? Amen. Let's carry on here. For we know him, in verse 30 says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I well recompense, said the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst he became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We keep running to Jesus. We keep running to God. We keep believing in the blood of the Lamb. Change is imminent. We know that things are going to change. There is no time in history that change didn't happen. Some people run from change. Some people try to hide from change. Some people embrace change. You can't do anything about it. Things are going to change. Amen? But it's how you deal with it that's going to define the quality of your life. We have these choices. Sometimes people want to stay in the same place. They're comfortable there, and they want to keep it that way. They don't want anybody to mess with that. It's not healthy. You must go forward. You must keep moving forward. Sometimes change is too much for people, and they can't deal with it. So they look for a way to escape. The ways of escape are drugs, alcohol, food, sex, anything you can imagine. Anything to keep from feeling the discomfort of change. But we have to live life on life's own terms. We don't know the answers. Even the people that embrace change, we don't know what's around the corner. I mean, know that Jesus is going to come get us someday. Amen? Praise God. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't be naive and think that you can write your schedule out for a month and it's all going to work out that way. Change is going to happen. You're going to have to get used to it. But you're going to have to live life on life's own terms if you want to have any quality of life at all. So you're going to have to run to Jesus, and you're going to have to believe what he did for you, and you're going to have confidence that you can go into his presence and say, I need help. And then keep going forward. But I don't feel right. Things are all different. Keep your eyes on him. Keep focused on his word. Your feelings will line up with the word of God. What happens too often is people will try to change the word of God in order to fit their feelings. Somebody might ask, well, how do they do that? Well, how do you come up with gay priests? How do you come up with gay pastors? People changing the word of God to fit their ideal. Well, that's what they did. They bent the word where it will fit their little scheme of things. Instead of letting the word change them to fit into the word. That's what we're supposed to do. That means change. That means change. I'll be the first one to tell you, when God started changing me, it wasn't a very fun process. If I had any idea that he was going to turn me into a preacher, they'd still be looking for me out in them woods, northeast Wyoming. That wasn't going to happen. And then he started getting me in front of people, which I hated. I didn't like it. I was reading poems. And then some lady said, come up to me and said, you know, you really need to take Copenhagen out of your mouth before you get up and read poems. I said, I'll see you later. I ain't get in front of all those people. Are you nuts? I'm not getting in front of all those people without a crutch. You see that? See, people look for a sense of ease and comfort. And they'll find it in all kinds of different ways. They're trying to fill a void inside of themselves that only God can fill. Only God can fill that void inside of you and cause it to produce positive fruit. All these other ideas that we find to fill that void will produce thorns. Produce negative fruit in our lives. Embrace the change, even though we don't know the answers, and go forward. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. As we celebrate being in your presence, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to rightfully divide the word of truth so that we can get revelation out of your word, because you have truly given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we thank you for your presence every day, every minute of our lives. We thank you that you are here with us. That's Emmanuel, meaning God with us. We thank you that you're right here with us. Even when things are confusing, even when we don't know the answers, we don't know how to do what we got to do, we just know that we got to go forward, we can have confidence that we can call on you. And you'll make it right. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have some snacks and coffee back here in fellowship. I encourage you to come back here and then.